Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope.
It's the only show with better than average gas mileage.
I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope continues its review of 1998. We look back, perhaps in anger, at the new album from Oasis, and Adam forgets about the last step and almost falls to his death.
And now, here are your hosts, Jarrett, Adam, and Shane.
This is indeed The Scope, episode 60. We've done 60 episodes.
60?
For all those doubters out there.
I can't wait till we do 9 more, Shane.
I can't say much more to that. I'm totally with you.
Skip that one, like how hotels skip the 13th floor sometimes.
We'll skip the 69th. I think that it would be our civic duty to do the 69th episode and do it with pride. Hey, we've got our regulars in, Jared, Adam, and myself, but we're reviewing British music this week, so that means that Al has to be in studio, so our music critic, music expert aficionado, Al, is in studio, ready to talk, arms folded, he looks a little surly, and it is his birthday today, everybody, so let's wish Al a very, very happy birthday. Blow out your candles, Al.
Awesome. What did you wish for?
Yeah, what did you wish for?
I can't say.
Exactly. Tried to trick you there, and you didn't fall for it. Bravo.
Al and I talk a lot about the show. We don't, but when we do, it's great. And Adam, I thought I'd throw this at you. Al thinks that Molly would be a terrific addition to the show. Like, we should have her on the show immediately, all the time, every episode. What is your opinion?
All right.
What does she bring to the show that's so great, Al?
She brings the female voice.
And that's why you're here this week.
Molly is mostly not female, though. So it's like a male-oriented female voice.
And just for the record,
I
do not know Molly, so it's
never matter.
Like, I'm pushing for a friend to get on the show.
The correct answer, by the way, would have been a big fat ass, but you missed out on that one. Wow. When it was what does Molly bring to the show?
Oh.
No, she doesn't really have a fat
She
ass.
Brings baked goods, right? Because that's
often,
what she'll do. If
she often brings treats.
She does not bring them for us.
No.
She brings them for herself.
And then eats them in front of us. And
I just think there's a little more lively flavor when she's on the show.
So what do you...
Yelling. There's more yelling.
What do you bring to the show, Al? Well, when you're here, Molly brings lively, what do you bring?
I guess I bring Oasis because that's the only thing she wants me to come talk about is Oasis.
Oasis. We could have had you on with The Verve. I mean, there are a few things out there. Stone Roses, perhaps.
Yeah.
But so Al, do you have any good stories to tell, or can we just go right into our stuff? Let's catch up with Al, shall we?
You guys will be happy. I played in a video gaming tournament.
Oh,
last weekend I played in an RBI baseball tournament,
like an old school, NES RBI
baseball. Except the controllers weren't the old school Nintendo controllers. They were like some cheap. Were they like, I don't know any of these brand names. Is like Yobos or something like that. It was a weird controller that had like the ends were a little more rounded. It wasn't like a real,
like they had to get the generic ones because they broke the original
probably,
ones or something like
yep.
that. Yeah,
and I was really excited. I was 2-3 during pool play.
You're always with pool plays with you. Well, you like pool plays.
Yeah, this tournament was like 7 hours, and then I destroyed everyone through the tournament.
Well, congratulations!
So I was excited.
I'm excited for the Tecmo football tournaments.
They are having one.
I know.
That's kind of through football season, then maybe remember the old, was it ice hockey where you had the three sizes of guys?
Yep. Fat, skinny, and normal.
So you got four of them. I'd be curious. My strategy was always one small, one fat, two regulars. Have we talked about this on the show?
Now, wasn't that the game?
Well, if we have, this is quite compelling anyway.
Wasn't that the
so
game when they came up for the NES 360 controller?
Yeah, it was the joystick.
But no, they had a controller that had like a weird little thumb piece that could move in 360
that
degrees.
That was best for the Olympic game, track and
field.
Remember
the NES Max? Is that what they called
it?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think they released both of those controllers at the same time.
Because I remember that really specifically was being marketed as for hockey.
Ah, I see.
At the same. Maybe it was just the timing, but...
Now, Al was talking,
I had one and hated it.
Yeah. Al was talking about RBI baseball. I've told him that my favorite Nintendo baseball game was All-Star Baseball. That was one of the competing games to RBI. I like that because you could name your entire team. So I had teams full of all my friends or people that,
and then
I
would baseball stars or all star
or whatever baseball stars. That's what it was. Baseball stars. Yeah. So I would play that, and then I would make teams full of the enemies that I had at school, and then make them all weak, and then beat them all the time. That's what I would do.
Which was the one made by? Remember, Tecmo made? Was it not Tecmo? Who made the cartridges that weren't official Nintendo cartridges?
Tengen.
That's a trivia
RBI
question.
RBI was a Tengen game.
Okay, that's my favorite one then, because
the guys were fat. They all looked like Ken Hurst.
Big heads. Yeah,
and, but you could, the pitching control on it was really good. It was much better than Bases Loaded.
Yep, I liked.
Bases Loaded was the third competing game.
And my favorite part about old school Nintendo games is that we had this technology that we thought was cutting edge back then, but you can only have a guy with like six letters in his name. They could only somehow get six letters in his name to fit in the little box where their
name
was.
And you could actually fit your first and last name.
I could if I was playing, yes.
I could not. First name, one initial, that's it. Yeah.
So,
well, congratulations. So you're a winner in Nintendo. So way to bring it back to about 1988.
Seven, eight. So look, no, I think it came out in 88, I think. But well, other than that,
that's it. You're just here to talk and bring it. Well, speaking of competitions,
sports competition, Oasis.
That's all I got. Well, all of the fans of Al write in and say how much you love him and the energy that he brings to the show.
Yeah, I'm no Molly.
But as I was saying, speaking of competition, Jared and I have recently competed in the final round of the Metro Buzz.
The Podcast Trivia Challenge.
Podcast Trivia Challenge, Adam.
PTC, I like to call it.
It was the finals. This time around, we battled against two other teams. Mm-hmm. The Lost, Jay and Jack's Lost Podcast.
The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack.
And then the other team, Jared.
I never quite understood
their name. Was very strange, and we apologize.
It was a three-way battle royale.
It was a three-way battle royale.
It was really like an eight-way or a nine-way.
It was done on Skype, right? So then, you know, some of these, obviously not all the teams members were in the same location.
Shane, we were the only team with which our players were in the same room.
Yeah.
Everyone else was on their own Skype connection.
We're the only professional podcast.
We've got it all figured out.
We might be the only geolocated team, so or something.
That's because you guys are...
We live down the street.
You're near 69 episodes. You're more professional.
Yeah, we finally figured it out. But so you know, we had this issue, Adam, where you have all these people competing in different places. They all had different quality sounds. You've got this delay on Skype, which makes it really funny, really hard to be funny. You know, I think that Jared and I did a great job in the first two episodes of being hilarious.
Oh yeah.
This time around, it wasn't quite as easy to be as funny and to represent the scope as we needed. So we really just buckled down and just trivia'd our hearts out, pretty much. That was
our hearts.
And I would love to tell all of our listeners right now how we did, but the reality is the show is not posted yet. So, according to the non-disclosure agreement that we signed and had to send in, and had our lawyers take a look at, we cannot give the results. But Adam, I will tell you in a break.
You want to give a little teaser?
We can give a teaser. Can we give a question, Jared, that we answered?
Oh boy!
We won't say.
I'm trying to think. What was it? Was the which U.S. state has the highest percentage of foreign-born people, or something like that?
Yes.
Wasn't that it?
Yes. So
you guys got that.
We'll
right.
throw that
you
out.
Right.
We're going to let you guys guess.
Not Iowa.
And what? And what would you say? What would be your answer to that, Adam?
They're the percentage of that state.
Yes.
So
foreign-born.
It almost can't be a highly populated state.
What's considered
not born in
America? Not born in the United States.
Well, let's break that down for you.
You know, like Barack Obama.
Not born.
Like Barack Obama.
Yes. Or, you know.
Or John McCain.
Immigrant type situation. Okay. Illegal as well.
I'm going to say Florida.
That was part of our guesses. Do we use the take two on that?
No, we used the take two on...
Take two is getting two guesses on one question.
What was the... I think
it was the baseball question.
Yeah, it was the baseball question.
And what is your guess,
which
Adam?
Al would have gotten right, I'm betting.
Yeah, we'll ask Al that one the next.
I don't know.
The correct answer is California.
Okay.
And our friends Jay and Jack busted our balls for even making that question a questionable situation, I guess. They felt it was very, very obvious that it was California.
I think they're originally from San Diego.
But I would,
so maybe
I would
have,
feel it was like too obvious
to
guess that. I'd outthought myself.
That's exactly the problem with these trivia questions is, you know, there are obvious answers to some of them, but are they too obvious? I mean, you know, why would you ask the question if it's so obvious?
What if you thought Alaska had more because they thought more Canadians would have moved to.
Or those, I thought Hawaii,
those
possibly.
Wily Russians.
Yeah, the Russians, you can see it from Alaska.
They're right there. Hey, no.
Sorry, we're cutting it off.
So here's the other question that we had.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
Anyway. Al, this is right. This is for you. What country won the first Olympic gold medal in baseball? And we had two guesses, both of them incorrect.
I wouldn't even know what year.
Yeah, when did they start? It was
88, something like that.
I'll say Cuba.
You would have won.
You would have won.
Incorrect.
Our first guess was USA.
Second guess was Japan.
Japan. And both of those Jareds.
Yes. Shane, you deferred to me.
Yeah, that one I didn't have a feel for at
all.
That's
why you guys host this show.
I don't think America's ever won a gold medal in
Doug Minkiewicz was on a gold team a couple years. I would say it was
2000.
Yeah, 96? I think it was
my
O face.
Right on.
That's 99 though. 1999.
So. Very nice. So hopefully the show will be posted very soon. They had some technical difficulties where one of the Skype, I don't even know how it works, Jared. Do you want to explain that? One of the recordings from one of the participants failed except for the last 10 minutes. So all of her conversation is gone. So they have to go through and do some editing and maybe even send her some script so she can recreate her competitive dialogue. So it'll be interesting to see
how
the
outcome
might
change.
This is why you shouldn't let girls on the internet.
What are you asking me to explain?
Are there like different sessions? I don't know what the terminology is.
I don't know
what
she was using to record. You know, I mean, we've had we use GarageBand to record here and it's crashed on us a couple times.
Mm-hmm. It does.
You know, it's been pretty robust lately, but sometimes it's buggy.
Robust.
Robust.
I'm going to use that word a lot this week.
Very good. So hopefully this show will be posted shortly after our 60th show was posted.
Correct.
Now, the host of the show, or one of the hosts of the show, John, asked us after the semifinals to record like a bumper spot, you know, where you go in like you're a wrestler or something like that, and we're going to win this thing, and we're going to take it to you. And he said, just have fun with it. And we had no idea what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else actually did it, but so this is part of, we just did this rambling missive of a mess for about 20.
How many racial epithets did you guys use?
Seven or eight. We cut those out.
So here's a little snippet of what we actually sent him. Jared, roll tape, if you will.
I'm excited.
It's the Scope Show.
Hey, Shane, what are we up to?
We're coming at you. Metro Buzz.
That's right. Podcast Trivia Challenge here
Finals.
At the Scope.
We're
going to throw out a little radio voice on you.
Let's
see what you do with that.
Here we go. We got a little mashup of radio voices.
That's right, Shane. If I was competing against
they can win.
These two guys,
we got some great prizes this week. We've got a Quiznos party pack.
Oh, Quiznos. I love their sandwiches. They're so hot and tender.
Hot? Mm-mm. Good. Your choice of lunch meats and cheesy toppings.
Adam is disgusted.
If you want to crisp it. Son of a bitch.
Only 1,400 calories a serving, Shane. That sounds like a deal to me.
And any drink you choose from our delicious fountain menu.
Shane, I hear the weather out there is pretty bad. What do you got to say on that?
Well, we've got Stormy coming at you.
Stormy?
Everything's coming at you.
Wow.
Tonight, a low down to 42. Tomorrow, high 55.
Shane,
your five-day weekend forecast, because that's when my weekend's going to be 5 days.
5 days? Boy, you know how to live it up, Shane. Tell me what. I hear the traffic is a snarly mess out there. What do you got to say on that?
Well, we got a rollover, a jackknife semi.
Oh, my.
Over at the 424 Turnpike.
Any fatalities in that?
14 fatalities.
14 fatalities.
Probably a lot of children. But you know what? We're going to get you through your day with
I'm stumped.
Everybody Hurts by R.E.M.
Oh, let it roll.
There you go.
You could have 1,000 people listen to that. Laughing. Are you going to be you guys?
What's that?
Nothing.
Say that again, Adam.
I said you could have 1,000 people listening to that, and the only two that would be laughing would be
you
two.
Thank you very much.
I think John Norton liked it, though.
I thought it was good. And Adam, you would never let yourself go like that. You're far too controlled. And
I'm just not creative, I guess.
You're really not.
It comes down to.
So, Jared, we're about 15 minutes into the show.
Right now, I'm just wishing I would have had the REM song queued up and I could have just gone right into it as if it was live.
That would have been perfect. Maybe we'll work on that bit. I am going to defer on our voicemail call until our next show.
What?
Fair enough.
And, hey, I'm going to tell everyone what is coming up on the rest of Scope Episode 60. As Jared teased earlier, Year in Review is back. Part 2, 1998, movies. There's a lot to look at, and I think we're going to cover it all. Al is here, so that means Oasis is back, or are back. Do we love them, and should you? You'll find out in our under the Scope segment. And yes, Scope number 60 coming at you, because guess what? It's always coming at you on the Scope. We'll do that in 2 and 2.
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope, female genitalia euphemism of the day. Today's euphemism is, hey, nonny, nonny. That was the Scope, female genitalia euphemism of the day. Now, back to the show. Are you ready for the next generation of randomness? It could be more appalling. It could be more incredible. But it's definitely more unpredictable. The Random Year Review.
1998. Very nice. 1998 is back. Last show, we covered all of the music of that influential year. I don't know if it was that influential. I don't know if there was a lot of music, but what we covered was interesting. Al, raising his finger, he has a quick comment. Well, Al, go ahead.
Well, I called Shane, was it Monday or Tuesday night, after watching Chuck, if anyone watched Chuck.
Not this week yet.
I'm still a week behind.
I won't spoil it, but he's
a spy.
Well, yeah. Sarah had to go back to her high school reunion in 98, so we heard a smorgasbord of music from 98. I thought it was ironic you guys were...
Did you have any selections from 1998 that you just like to throw out there as one of your favorites?
There had to be like a Savage Garden song out there.
One of your favorites, Truly, Madly, Deeply?
I should pull up Angela's iTunes and get her 1998 playlist, because she graduated that year as well.
Oh, very nice. We'll see if you can do that.
Is she going to her tenure this year also?
She's not sharing her music. It was over the summer. Probably we did go.
Okay. And how did that go, by the way?
It was fine.
Was it a time warp?
I guess. I didn't know any of the people.
Mine's in October, but I'm not going.
You're not going?
No.
It's out in Virginia?
Out in Virginia.
Man, I think you should go.
It's too late.
I didn't go.
It is October right now, I just realized. So... I guess I missed that.
I think you're out of it. We've only got a week left. Okay, everybody. So 1998 was a great year in film, I think, mostly. Armageddon was the number one grossing film of the year, followed by Saving Private Ryan and one of my least favorite movies of all time, Godzilla. The remake of Godzilla starring Matthew Broderick. Who was the female lead in that movie? Anyone
Matthew
remember?
Matthew Broderick.
Oh, thank you. Shakespeare in Love won Best Picture, and Spielberg won his second directing Oscar for the aforementioned Saving Private Ryan. And in one of the most bizarre Oscar wins and acceptance speeches ever, Roberto Benigni won Best Actor for Life is Beautiful. Just to give a little perspective, here are just a smattering of movies released in that year. So I'm going down my list. I've got A Simple Plan, Basketball, cult classic, A Big Lebowski, The Big Lebowski, not A Big Lebowski, Pixar's A Bug Life, Can't Hardly Wait.
You don't want to plural anything, do you?
Dark City, Deep Impact, Elizabeth, The Horse Whisperer, Adam, I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, which actually ties into a MetroBuzz question. Lethal Weapon 4, Lost in Space, another craptastic movie, and one of the first DVDs I ever owned.
Is that Joey's first non...
I don't know. I know. I think he might have been...
That was the one with the monkey. The baseball monkey movie.
Meet Joe Black, Mulan, Out of Sight, the Psycho remake, Primary Colors, the German film Run, Lola, Run, Rush Hour started that year, The Truman Show came out that year, and Adam Sandler hit us with The Wedding Singer, and Jared's favorite movie of all time, Wild Things, hit. And Al's favorite movie of all time, You've Got Mail.
It's because I got to see Kevin Bacon's cock.
You've Got Mail.
Very nice.
It's a good movie.
I did not like You've Got Mail.
It's a great movie.
Way too long.
By the way, A Simple Plan.
We did see a lot of those, didn't we?
We saw, yeah. Jared and I were just talking. We saw many movies in 1988. Maybe the most we've ever seen in any year. And I think that in the theater of that list I read, we probably saw 80% of them.
Yeah. Was Out of Sight, was that the J-Lo?
That
was
the
fantastic movie.
That was the
I could have done that.
Elmore. Ass. Yes. Her ass became popular.
The Elmore Leonard movie.
George Clooney, one of his first big movies, if not his first.
Great soundtrack.
That and A Simple Plan are two like incredibly underrated.
Very underrated.
Good movies that came out that year.
And we've got three more movies we're going to talk about. And we're going to start it off with Adam, because I think we're going to go alphabetical in terms of the movies that we selected. So
did we
Adam,
do that same order last time? Or did I go? I went last on music. Never mind.
No, and you're going to go second this time.
Okay.
Jared. So Adam, start us off with your selection for influential movie of 1998.
Like, well, like you said, we're going alphabetical. So mine starts with an A. It's Air Bud.
Nice. Nothing better than sports playing dogs.
Yes. The football one came out that year. I don't know what it's called. But it's
Air Bud.
I believe that was Golden Receiver.
Wow. Very quick.
Nice. No, I actually chose American History X. It's an Academy Award nominated 1998 film starring Edward Norton, Edward Furlong, Ethan Suplee, Earl's brother from My Name is Earl.
And he's
a neo-Nazi in it, so that's great.
Not that different from his Earl character.
Right. And the always incredibly ugly Fairuza Balk, though some people find her attractive. I do not understand that.
I kind of agree with you there.
Edward Norton was...
And by kind of, I mean I do.
Yes. Edward Norton was nominated for Best Actor in the Academy Award. So the movie tells the story of two brothers, Derek Vineyard and Danny Vineyard, Edward Norton and Edward Furlong, growing up in Venice Beach, California. They're both extremely bright and charismatic students, but Derek is drawn into the neo-Nazi and racist underground after their father, a firefighter, is killed by an African-American drug dealer while trying to put out a fire in South Central.
It's a story we can all relate to.
Yes.
It impacts every one of us.
In this first clip, we hear the Vineyards having a conversation at dinner about race relations in L.A., just as Derek is getting involved in the local neo-Nazi scene.
That's crap. I don't buy that for a minute. Calling a riot an irrational expression of rage, that's such a cop-out. It's opportunism at its worst. It's a bunch of people grabbing any excuse they can find to go and loot a store. Nothing more. You know, the fact that these people ripped off the stores in their own communities, all that reflects is the degree to which these people have absolutely no respect for the law at all, and certainly no concept of, like, community or civic responsibility.
Wait a minute. White people commit crimes against white people, too.
Yeah, but they're not offing each other in record numbers all over America. Look at the statistics, for Christ's sakes. It's one in every three black males is in some phase of the correctional system. Is that a coincidence, or do these people have, you know, like a racial commitment to crime?
Well, maybe it says something about prejudice in the judicial system.
It's Elliot Gould as a token Jew.
You relate to him.
Yes. Derek murders two African-American gang members trying to steal his truck and is sent to prison. So the story goes on to tell how Danny is influenced by his older brother's actions and thoughts, and how Derek, later deeply enlightened by his experience in confinement, tries to prevent his brother from going down the same road he did. So in the second clip, we hear Derek fighting with Cameron Alexander, the leader of the local Nazi youths.
Yeah, but it doesn't even really matter if I don't, does it? Because you got the next crop all lined up and ready to go, you fucking chicken hawk.
Excuse me?
You prey on people, Cam. You use them. I lost 3 years of my life for your fucking phony cause, but I am onto you now, you fucking snake.
Hey, Gary, watch it. Be careful. Remember where you are. This is not some fucking country club where you can waltz in and out of here.
Hey, shut the fuck up. I came in here to tell you one thing. I am out. Out! And Danny is out, too. And if you come near my family again, I'm going to fucking kill you.
They say F a lot.
I was going to say, what was this movie rated?
Yeah, that sounds like Al's
household. Rated Z, yeah. I think.
On YouTube, there's a version called American History X, the fucking short version. And it's just a clip of every time someone says fuck in the movie. And it's like a minute and 15 seconds long.
It's a long clip.
Fuck, yeah. So that's it. The movie is depressing, but kind of, I don't know. It ends on a sad note if you've never seen it before, but it's really worth seeing.
I've never seen that movie.
Really?
Yes, oh, I've never seen it. It's one that's fell through the cracks for me.
There's a scene in it that the reason that Edward Norton's character goes to prison that like will stay with you for a really long time, that the crime that he commits. And he's so good. Like, I love Edward Norton.
He was nominated for Best Actor, correct?
Yes.
Should he have won this year? A lot of people say he did.
Who is he up against? Tom Hanks and is that who won Best Actor? Tom Hanks and Saving Private Ryan?
Did he win for Saving Private Ryan? I don't know. No, Roberto Benigni won for...
Did he win Best Life Actor, too? I didn't remember that.
Did he? I don't know.
I thought he just won Best Director, Best Foreign Film.
I think you
film,
might be
whatever.
Right.
So I don't know. I think everything that he's in, he's good in. But
Hulk.
Well,
Sans Hulk.
You got me. So yeah, it's a good movie and depressing, but worth seeing. I made Mandy watch it very early on in our relationship, and she is not a movie buff by any means,
but a huge Nazi fan.
Yes.
So.
Well,
neo-Nazi.
Once you meet me, it's
kind of the test.
Yeah,
it was a test to see
exactly. And she, I was surprised how much she liked it. So that was.
I would like to see it at some point in my life.
Well, there you go.
We can hear the short version of it.
Okay. Jared, right on it.
Fucking. Well, that's enough of that.
I am desensitized, and I can't wait for my daughter to listen to this show. So it'll be good. Very nice, Jared. Very quick on the button on there, Jared. You've seen American History X. What's your take?
I thought it was fantastic, and I think that Edward Norton should have won that year, but he was robbed.
Roberto Benigni. I checked my notes. He did win for Best Actor.
Yeah, that was
fucking robbed.
Life is Beautiful, way overrated movie.
I think it's a great movie. I think that I really like movies that shift, and because it's a comedy for the first half.
It didn't have a tone that I could lock onto. That I really liked problem. It.
You don't like reading.
I don't hate
one
it.
One thing I would mention about this,
hate Italians.
Anytime Edward Norton comes up, is he's doing, for the last 18 or 20 months, he's been doing a behind-the-scenes documentary on the Barack Obama campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his camera crew have been there the entire time, so that'll be interesting. It'll come out. Assuming he wins, I think sometime in February. After all,
probably be better if he lost.
Yeah, it'd
be
well. I think
not for America.
Right. If he loses, direct to Redbox.
Sorry, no.
I'm sorry, Blue Box.
Yeah, I think the documentary behind and the stories about the McCain campaign will probably be more interesting and juicy anyway. So
yeah,
I'm ready for that to all fall apart.
Well, there you go, Adam, interjecting a little bit of politics right into American History X. Jared, you've got a movie.
I do.
Let's listen to your talk. On your movie. Let's go.
Way to set it up there.
Yeah, thank you,
Shane. I picked the film Rushmore. Now, this film barely qualifies as being in 1998. It was released, let me check my notes here.
Look at it.
December 11th, I think. Yeah, you know.
Did we see that in 1998? I believe we did.
I think we did, yeah. So, therefore, it qualifies.
There we go.
Where was it? December 11th, 1998 for 1 week. And then it was released nationally February 19th, 1999. And this is the second film from director Wes Anderson. His first film was Bottle Rocket, which I had seen previous to that, and it was quirky and fun, so I was very much looking forward to Rushmore. The plot centers around Max Fisher, a precocious and eccentric 15-year-old who is both Rushmore's most extracurricular and least scholarly student. He's played by Jason Schwartzman. Herman Bloom, played by Bill Murray, is a disillusioned industrialist who comes to admire Max, and Rosemary Cross, played by Olivia Williams, a widowed first-grade teacher who becomes the object of both Max's and Herman's affection. Max's life revolves around Rushmore Academy, where he is a scholarship student. Max spends nearly all of his time on elaborate extracurricular activities, caring little how it affects his grades. He also feuds with his school headmaster, Dr. Guggenheim, played by Brian Cox. This first clip is a clip in which Max is placed on academic probation for not doing so well. I'm going to raise the audio level
putting
here
you on what we call sudden,
and start over.
We're putting you on what we call sudden death academic probation.
Can't do it, Max.
And what does that entail?
It entails that if you fail another class, you'll be asked to leave Rushmore.
In other words, I'll be expelled.
That's correct.
Could I see some documentation on that, please?
Too many extracurricular activities, Max. Not enough studying.
54, 42, 41. Dr. Guggenheim, I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but the fact is, no matter how hard I try, I still might flunk another class. If that means I have to stay on for a postgraduate year, then so be it.
But we don't offer a postgraduate year.
Well, we don't offer it yet.
Just bring up the grades.
You remember how I got into this school?
Yes. You wrote a play?
That's right. Second grade. A little one act about Watergate. And my mother read it and felt I should go to Rushmore. And you read it and you gave me a scholarship, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you regret it?
No, I don't regret it. But I still might have to expel you.
Couldn't we just let me float by? For old time's sake?
Can't do it, Max.
Poor Max. Okay, so now Bloom finds his operation of a multi-million dollar company to be unsatisfying, and he's frustrated that his marriage is failing and his two sons he's putting through Rushmore are unrepentant brats. Oh, they're a lot of fun. He and Max become close friends. Max admires Herman's success, while Herman is impressed with Max's cocksure attitude.
Cocksure.
Miss Cross arrives at the academy as a new teacher after the death of her husband, and Max quickly develops an infatuation. He makes many attempts at courting her. While she initially tolerates Max, Ms. Cross becomes increasingly alarmed at his obvious obsession with her. Along the way, Bloom attempts to convince Max that Ms. Cross is not worth the trouble, only to fall for Rosemary himself. They begin dating without Max's knowledge.
Love triangle.
Yep, it's getting crazy. Eventually, Max's friend Dirk discovers the relationship and informs Max.
The killing's gotta stop, I say. It's getting too loco. No more cats.
Nigga, you're the crazy one. People be trying to kill you.
A little
you.
Preamble.
Are you talking about you gonna get rid of your gun?
Serpico.
It's time, homie.
Kiss me, little one.
All right, then he kisses her and we're out. Okay. Is that for me?
Dear Max, I am sorry to say that I have secretly found out that Mr. Bloom is having an affair with Miss Cross. My first suspicions came when I saw them Frenching in front of her house, and then I knew for sure when they went skinny dipping in Mr. Bloom's swimming pool, giving each other hand jobs while you were taking a nap on the front porch.
Each other hand jobs. Good.
Why am I telling you this now? Because you're such a good friend. Take care, pal. Fondly, Dirk Calloway.
Each other hand jobs.
Same kid that played Dennis the Menace in the Dennis the Menace remake in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. So then Max and Herman go on from that point to be mortal enemies. There's a series of back and forth revenge
retaliation.
Acts, one of which is Max decides he wants to build an aquarium at Rushmore Academy in order to impress Rosemary. And he's demolishing the athletic field in order to do it. And this gets him expelled from Rushmore. So he has to go on to public school and make a new life there. Fast forward, there's a lot of revenge. Eventually, there's a change of heart and some reconciliation and a play about Vietnam.
and one quick scene with a bunch of titties on the wall that gave it an R rating.
Really?
That's it, huh?
Huh. I did not know that.
They're like Playboy things in the one of the scenes, the Vietnam scenes.
Oh, wow. Look at you with the trivia. I like it.
Why is this such a good movie, Jared?
I don't know. It's just the writing is so precise and definite. These characters are just so well drawn and acted, and there's a quirky production to it. I don't know. There's just so much to like.
It's got its whole its own universe of things that are happening. And I think the thing that I like about this movie the most is the fact that Max Fisher is 15, I think. And yep. Everyone treats him like he's 45 years old. I mean, it's you don't really question it. No one in the movie questions it. It just is sort of a part of what happens, and it's just a matter of fact.
I actually have a quote sort of on that topic from Wes Anderson, and he says, one of the things that was most appealing to us was the initial idea of the 15-year-old kid and a 50-year-old man becoming friends and equals.
There we go. There you go. It's like I'm in Wes Anderson's head.
Yeah.
This movie really brought Bill Murray back into the forefront of comedic, dramatic-type roles. Kind of gave him a whole different look and the character, appearance in Hollywood, I think.
Yeah, his character in Lost in Translation is almost like it could have grown from the same guy.
Sure. I think that, for my money, Rushmore could be the essential movie of 1998 for me. It's one that I think the comedy meshes well with the drama to it. It's got its own quirkiness, which is timeless.
There's a certain pathos to it.
Yes. And a great soundtrack, too.
Yes, it's all a lot of it's 60s British invasion stuff. The rest of it's scored by Mark Mothersbaugh, so yeah, it's really good.
And I don't want to say the rest of Wes Anderson's movies seem derivative of this, but you know, a lot of them have similar elements that some might argue he does not do as well in other films that he has done since this. But I think that's for people to decide.
And earlier in 98. So can I tell a story about...
Please. Go ahead. So we love your stories.
Early in 98, that's when the X-Files movie also came out.
Oh, Fight the Future?
And, And
terrific.
My girlfriend at the time, Laura, and I went to go see it. It must have been probably October or November. And they had a trailer for Rushmore at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
And her and I both, like, we were just sitting there, like, stunned, like, looking at it, like, this is going to be the best movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the trailer ends, and like we both look at each other, and like, that looks great. And then right behind us, there's these two idiot girls that go, that looks stupid. And we're just like, perfect.
Exactly.
I think I remember having the same reaction to the trailer when I saw it. Oh, like, yeah, this is going to be an incredibly awesome movie. Very special, and it was. It lived up to the hype. Al, have you ever seen Rushmore?
I saw Rushmore right when it came out.
Did you like it?
I remember liking it, but just details have gone by.
It's gone.
I need to rewatch it again.
Too much sports in your head.
The Criterion DVD is really, really good. Like that, they put it.
You heard
of
the sound quality on those clips.
Very good. Well, guess what, everybody? It's my turn.
I thought you thought this last movie was the quintessential 98.
Yeah, why do we even need to continue?
Should we just skip yours?
It probably is.
In the interest
but
of time.
You know what? Jared picked it kind of after the fact, but he's right. Jared picked the best movie. I will pick the second best movie, 1998.
Actually, but that American History X has already been chosen.
Okay, the third best movie of 1998. I selected the romantic gross-out comedy film, There's Something About Mary, directed by the Farrelly Brothers, names Bobby and Peter. It starred Ben Stiller, Cameron Diaz, and Matt Dillon.
Is there a third brother named Greg?
I don't know.
Hmm.
But Matt Dillon seems to have tapped into the entourage acting of his brother, so it's very strange how they seem very similar. It's a combination of romantic comedy and gross out, as I said. It was the third highest grossing movie of 1998, and the highest grossing comedy, and really, this was a movie that catapulted Ben Stiller into the comedic limelight, you know, that sad sack guy that can't really do anything right, and in the end, gets the girl. Until Wedding Crashers was released in 2005, There's Something About Mary was the most successful youth-aimed R-rated comedy film at the box office. I didn't know there was a category, but there you go.
Everything is sliced and diced now, Shane.
It made $176 million in the U.S. and $369 million worldwide. The plot of the movie, it's kind of a convoluted. There's a lot of things going on, but I'll do my best to drive it down into about four sentences.
Because no one's seen this, so we need to explain it.
Cameron Diaz gets jizz in her hair. That's the plot.
Awkward and shy high schooler Ted lands a prom date with his dream girl, Mary, who is Cameron Diaz, obviously, just to have it cut short by a painfully humiliating zipper accident. Cut to the future, 13 years, as a matter of fact. He's still in love, maybe even slightly obsessed with her, on the advice of his best friend, Dom, played by Chris Elliott, who has sort of an odd role in this movie. He hires a sleazy private detective, Pat Healy, played by Matt Dillon, to track her down. But Healy finds that she is just as alluring as Ted thinks and falls in love with her as well. To figure out what's going on, Ted drives down to Florida, where Mary is at, with Dom and tries to win her love and gets into all sorts of trouble. Ted has to overcome his idiocy along with the host of other suitors willing to do anything to get Mary's attention. Our first clip is from the immortal zipper fiasco. Ted's zippered up his Franks and beans, and everyone from Mary's parents to the local authorities pile into the bathroom to check it out. Take a listen.
Take a look at what this numbnuts did.
Holy shit! Mike! Eddie! Get down here quick! Bring everybody! Bring a camera! You're not gonna believe this! We got a kid down here! What's your name?
No, there's only one thing to do here.
No,
I got an idea. I got an idea. Look, I can just, we don't have to do anything because, look, I can just wear this over the front.
Look, I can go to the prom. We'll deal with it later.
Relax. You already laid the tracks. That's the hard part. Now we're just going to back it up.
Teddy, be brave.
It's just like pulling off a Band-Aid. A one and a two and a...
We got a bleeder! Keep the pressure on. Keep it on.
Everybody get out of the way.
Please, everybody, please.
He was masturbating.
People, please move out of the way. Please move. This is serious, people.
He was masturbating.
Move out of the way.
None of this ever happened to Woogie.
Are you okay, Ted? Oh! Ted!
He was masturbating.
Oh, my God, are you all right?
Mary's mentally challenged brother Warren, in my opinion, makes the movie and gives it the heart of the entire plotline. Let's go to the second clip. It's a hilarious and a bit of a non sequitur exchange between Ted and a hitchhiker played by Freddie Got Fingers Harlan Williams. He picks up on the way to his meeting with Mary in Florida. Blech.
You heard of this thing, the 8-minute abs?
Yeah, sure, 8-minute abs. Yeah, the exercise video. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, this is going to blow that right out of the water. Listen to this. 7-minute abs.
Abs.
Right, yes. Okay, all right. I see where you're going.
Think about it. You walk into a video store, you see 8-minute abs sitting there. There's right. 7-minute abs right beside it. Which one are you going to pick, man?
I would go for the 7. Yeah, I'd go for the
bingo, man. 11. Bingo. 7-minute abs. And we guarantee just as good a workout as the 8-minute folk.
You guarantee it? That's how do you do that?
If you're not happy with the first 7 minutes, we're going to send you the extra minute free. See, that's it. That's our motto. That's where we're coming from. That's from A to B.
That's right. That's good. That's good. Unless, of course, somebody comes up with 6-minute abs, then you're in trouble, huh?
You're missing his face right now. It's like somebody gave him lemon juice.
No! No, no, not 6. I said 7. Nobody's coming up with 6. Who works out in 6 minutes? You won't even get your heart going, not even a mouse on a wheel.
Good point.
7's the key number here. Think about it. Right. 7 elevens?
Yeah.
7 dwarfs? 7, man, that's the number. 7 chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch. You know that old children's tale from the sea? It's like you're dreaming about gorgonzola cheese when it's clearly brie time, baby. Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fucking fired.
Come on. You know, I remember when I watched it in the theater, and I actually saw this movie 3 times, I always thought that hitchhiker scene was a little odd and strange, but over time, I think that's one of the comedic moments in that movie that just stands the test.
I'm sure Harlan Williams was not going off any script.
Yeah, he was totally off the rails there. It was pretty funny. So why is this movie important? Looking at my notes, it really is the pinnacle of the Farrelly Brothers trio of great gross-out movies, Dumb and Dumber and Kingpin followed before that, maybe not in that order. But I think why There's Something About Mary, to me, works better than those two as a total movie is that it has a heart. It has characters that are interesting, and it follows a very strange path from A to B, as Harlan would say.
You know why it works for me, Shane?
Tell me.
Brett Favre.
I don't know if Something About Mary holds stands the test of time, because comedy really in itself has a shelf life.
Yeah, not so, as good as Me, Myself, and Irene did.
Ugh, jeez Louise, what a terrible movie. But I have to say, for the time, the moment in time, 1998, There's Something About Mary was about as funny of a movie as I've ever seen. And I think the Farrelly Brothers kind of struggled with what we were talking about with Rush Hour, Rushmore, to a greater degree, which is everything they did seemed to be derivative of that formula, and it never...
Like Rush Hour 3 was of Rush
Hour. Exactly. It never worked, so Me, Myself, and Irene. What was that other one that Ben Stiller did with them when he reteamed?
Remake? Sweetest... Or no.
No, that wasn't them. The one last year, the remake of
The Heartbreak Kid?
Yeah, Heartbreak Kid.
That wasn't them.
Yeah, they directed that movie.
Are you sure?
I thought they did.
They directed that movie. And that movie...
That's unfortunate.
Well, it was supposed to be Something About Mary Part 2.
Basically. Yeah, and it just didn't work. So, Something About Mary, great film. What do you guys think?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was a groundbreaking comedy. I mean, it was... Like you said, it was like the pinnacle of that whole gross out humor, and I think everything from that point on was an imitation and not a good one.
Did you both?
By the way, Adam is looking up to see if they were the directors.
That I'm just surprised. I'm not saying you guys are wrong. You're directed by Bobby and Peter. Did you both see it 3 times in the theater? Is that what you said?
I think we both did, actually.
Three times?
Okay.
That's weird. I saw it 3 times in the theater, too. And
it was funny every time.
It's a weird year because I saw, what's it called? The Roberto Benigni movie 3 times in the theater also. And they were both like late summer, fall. Early fall. So,
and Something About Mary started off slowly. Jared and I saw that right away.
Yeah.
Before any, we might even saw a sneak preview of it. And it was a slow build with that movie where it was gaining... more money week after week. It was a very odd box office take for that film, and I think we actually had to take our friends to see it. And then at that time I was just started dating Carrie, and that was the third time we saw it. It was just a really weird sort of thing, and still funny after the third time.
I liked it too because it had some more subtle points. There's a scene that just pops in my mind when Chris Elliott's sitting there and he's entertaining. Stiller's character, I should know the name. He has Ted there, and his wife comes by and asks him if he wants to make chocolate chips, and she says I can make some chocolate chips or butterscotch. And
he just sits there and goes,
I they go with the chocolate chip. And it just some of those, I don't know why I remember that, but just great timing all around. Great
bits.
Characters. We got to see Sarah Silverman play a very minuscule part, but for some reason it added to that scene.
One of Mary's friends.
Yeah.
You know, this is one note that I wanted to make about this movie, and the Farrelly brothers do this in a lot of films, actually. But they have sort of strange casting things that would go against the norm. For instance,
Jonathan Richman? Is that what you're...
No, I'm getting at like Mary's father, who is a black guy, he just was. I mean, there's no explanation. They don't really stereotype him. He just is there, and you accept it.
And he loved Woogie.
He's there because Marky Post is
never what happened to Woogie.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that stuff like that. And Warren's brother, or Warren, the brother of Mary, he's mentally handicapped. But I don't. Yeah, I think there was controversy at the time, but I never felt like he was too over the top. I don't think it was insulting. And it really was the anchor of the entire film, that character. And then, you know, Warren also had his friends in the movie, which were actually played by mentally handicapped guys. And I thought that was treated with respect. And they didn't make a scene out of it. They were just there. It was just part of the film. You know, this is something that could happen to anyone in their day-to-day life. And maybe a different director or a different producer might have changed the entire tone by doing something strange with
that. It was to show how perfect Mary was, how good-hearted she was, and that was an element of why she's perfect. Besides, you know, she watches SportsCenter. She helps challenge people.
There's a great line where right after they both go golfing, Matt Dillon's character and Mary and he's like stalking her, and they both go to the driving range, and he's putting his clubs away and everything, and he's talking about how he works with mentally handicapped.
And Rocco.
Yeah. He goes, I love those retards. And I don't know why.
That's right.
But the first time I saw it, like, I just busted out laughing so hard in that. And she's like, and then like Mary tries to like politically correct him. He's like, he like defends it. And in this way, like, he's so dumb and doesn't get it.
Yeah.
He played a perfect D-bag, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was a perfect D-bag in a movie,
he did it.
It was Dylan.
I did like the weird interjections and scene changes with Jonathan Richman and the other guy from the Modern Lovers, just randomly singing, you know, like a song specifically about the scene that they just saw or the transition. I don't know why.
And it's something you couldn't, after it was done in this movie, you could never use that device again effectively. So, you know, a lot of things came together in this movie to make it one of the funniest of the year.
Third best.
And third best on our list. I think we actually selected three fantastic films. Al, are you pleased with what you've listened to so far?
Yes, and you asked me to contribute, and I said, well, I would have just chosen the same one you did.
Very good.
Or basketball. But
basketball would have been a good choice.
Basketball, a cult classic, if you will. So, everybody, that was the Random Year in Review 1998 Part 2 Movies. Hey, don't tune out, because we've got a lot more Scope Show coming up. Let's start with some Scope Sounds.
How about if I keep the music up and I move the vocals down?
Okay, let's do it.
All right.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
Yeah, making a return to the Scope. It's the fire age of a song called Only You Can Make Me Happy from the Podset Music Network and music.podshow.com. Keep on listening to the Scope. Come back soon now.
As I look down from a star, I love the way that we are. It could never go away. It's a feeling that may change. Only you can make
Okay, we get it.
We now join the scope already in progress.
Under the scope.
Yes, indeed. Under the scope is back. And where do you go to get all of your news? That would be the Scope News.
Why do we do news first? I'm just kidding. No, the
why
and
is
not even sure why.
Yeah.
If we do the news first.
If we do news first.
Should we do the news first?
No.
Adam, you're back to paper. That's exciting. You
fuck
know,
those trees.
Take them down. And what is going on in the world of nerd news?
All right. I don't know if this is all nerd, but a lot of it is.
Okay.
Try to focus on that. So the first story, it's actually a follow-up. So it's really in-depth reporting, I think.
So you did your reporting before. You brought us a story, and then you went back.
Yes.
And you talked to your sources and got a follow-up.
Yes. So we had a story a few months ago about Dr. Pepper saying that if Chinese Democracy comes out this year, they will give everyone a free Dr. Pepper.
For those of you that don't know, Dr. Pepper is a soda pop.
And Chinese Democracy is a Guns N' Roses
album. Oh, okay. Well, I was going to take that joke, but I thought the soda pop was better.
All right. So.
Soda pop.
What? Dr. Pepper has decided to make good on the Chinese Democracy stunt.
In this economy?
I know. So.
Yes. Sit around in applause. Or rain dropping on a sidewalk.
So it's still not November 23rd, so I'm still a little suspicious. But now that Axel and Company have set a release date of the 23rd. Of November, Dr. Pepper says it will make good on that offer that they said that they started, I think, back in May. Those that want to claim the free soda can go to Dr. Pepper's website on November 23rd, enter some personal information, and they'll get a coupon in the mail. The offer says no free soda to former Guns N' Roses members, Slash or Buckethead, by the way.
Wow, so Buckethead out of the loop.
Yeah.
How could he drink it?
It's true.
Just you could use like a coffee
straw.
Table. Yeah.
It's a 20-ounce that you get, by the way.
Ooh, a 20-ouncer.
I know.
Wow. I'm only used to 12.
It's like half a 40. It is half a 40.
It is. That is, if you do the math, if you take 20 away from 40, you're going to get 20.
So let's do a new thing. Let's discuss. How does this make us feel?
Well, what's the name of the album again?
Chinese Democracy.
Hmm. Be rough it long time. I will say this. Is it a Best Buy exclusive? Is that, can we confirm that the album will be released at Best Buy stores only?
It will at least have
or a window
exclusivity at the beginning, and I haven't heard anything after that, so I'm assuming it's fully exclusive.
What's the release date again?
Best Buy, November 23rd.
Are we going to go on record and say we will review this album on the scope?
Sure.
I was never a Guns N' Roses fan, so I got a hunch that...
I like Guns N' Roses.
Jared, were you a Guns N' Roses fan?
I thought Appetite for Destruction was fantastic. I thought the User Illusion pair of albums could have been one, and after that, who cares?
Al,
they didn't have anything after that, but...
You are the music aficionado. You've got scruffle on your face, growing some sort of beard. That definitely gives you a little bit
scruffle?
Of momentum. What do you think?
Well, being that it's not Oasis, I probably don't
He doesn't care.
Like, no.
There's no British people in this band, so you're in trouble.
Well,
no folk rock.
Well, hair bands was popular when I was in middle school, so you had to listen to whatever was popular when you're in middle school, regardless of if it was cool.
They chain you down. They chain you down.
They do. They say, listen to this.
So I'm curious.
November
I mean, it probably won't be no spaghetti incident, but we'll see.
We'll just have to see.
All right.
Well, thank you for bringing that story to our attention, Adam.
No problem. Two quick political things.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
No! Whatever, go ahead.
Colin Powell endorsed Barack Obama last Sunday on Meet the Press.
So that's because he's black, right?
Heard that. Yes.
Okay.
And so the blowback from that was people like Rush Limbaugh screaming at the top of their lungs into the microphone. He literally said, "It was about race." But he did this with his fat hands.
Are you one of those liberals that listen to Rush Limbaugh just
no,
so you
no,
can get
I,
angry
I,
about
I,
it?
I see the clips on the internet.
Okay.
On the
so
tubes.
All completely taken out of context.
Of course.
How dare you?
But that was probably only the second biggest endorsement of the week. The biggest is clearly Eminem's endorsement saying that he'll vote for Barack.
So forget
Eminem the candy or the rapper?
The rapper.
The rapper. Okay, I didn't hear that.
Don't forget former Minnesota Governor Arnie Carlson. Yeah. Also throwing his hat. He's a Republican, so.
For all of our...
He's an independent now, though.
Oh, is he? Maybe. Yeah. Whatever. He's former Republican, then.
For all of our national listeners, sorry. You don't know who Arnie Carlson is, but
I'm just, you know, got to give it a little local flavor.
I like Jared. He gives it a local flavor.
I saw it on the news in Kentucky.
Shane,
so.
The Farmer's Market down the street is opening, too.
Oh, really?
All right, nerd stuff.
Tomatillos.
LucasArts has announced a new Star Wars-based MMO. Because the first one did so well.
For people like Al, what does MMO stand
Massively
for?
Multiplayer Online Role-Playing Game.
I know MMA, because that's mixed martial arts, because it's sports.
It's pretty much like that.
That's an ass-kicking event.
Yeah. It's the mixed martial arts of the nerd group. So the first MMO that based on the Star Wars universe tanked terribly.
That was called Star Wars Galaxies?
Galaxies.
And that took place in like the original trilogy era?
Really?
You'd think that would be a super hit. Why did it tank, Adam? You play these games. You're a nerd.
Because at first you couldn't be a Jedi, so what was the point, right?
Okay.
And then they changed it.
Miscalculation.
Right, when everyone started becoming, everyone started moving over to World of Warcraft, they were like, okay, let's change it. You can be a Jedi by doing these things. And then everyone became Jedis, and then there was no other class balance, I guess. And then, yeah.
Probably getting around that with this new video game.
Everyone's Jedis.
Everyone's a Jedi. Yeah.
Okay. Jedis that also run shops? Is that the plan?
Who knows?
They'll make sweaters for you, and you can sell them.
And have promiscuous virtual sex.
So the thing is, this is actually based in the Old Republic universe. So if you've played any of the Knights of the Old Republic games, the... Xbox games of those.
Is that like 80 million years before?
I think it's 2,000 years before the original trilogy. I love those games, and I would have bought a 360, I think, if it was an exclusive 360 only Knights of the Old Republic 3. This I will care nothing about, so we'll have to see, but I doubt it'll do anything.
Do you think it will not overtake World of Warcraft?
No. LucasArts has a history of making shitty games. I don't think they'll be able to make
It's BioWare who's the developer, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't EA want to buy them? EA did buy them,
yeah. Okay. So, I don't know. Yeah, I see where you're going with it, but...
I think he's got you in a box.
I don't. I'm just bringing it up, but it's not really LucasArts that's developing. I mean, they have oversight.
Somehow
political
this week,
oversight.
This week, by the way, we have three... MMO stories.
Oh my goodness, this is a disaster.
I'm skipping the World of Warcraft one.
Because everyone knows about that.
So Blizzard...
Al is falling asleep.
Blizzard is actually big enough that they have their own conferences, kind of like what Macworld used to be, back when they had no third-party support. So at BlizzCon last week, Blizzard announced that they'll be having a new MMO come out in probably the next 3 or 4 years.
Very timely announcement,
well, it
by
takes
the way.
That long to...
Save your money now.
It won't be based in the World of Warcraft universe.
Goodness.
It won't be based in the Diablo universe. It won't be based in the StarCraft universe. It will be a
minor league
completely
baseball?
New.
Oh.
No, the right answer there would have been the Lost Vikings, because that was another Blizzard game.
Nice.
But so it'll be a brand new universe, brand new game, brand new setting, all that stuff. So we'll see how that goes. I'll have something to do in 4 years.
It's good that you can plan out.
Yeah. Finally, study done by some groups, and I know this appeals to at least one person here, Shane.
We'll see if it finds.
Marijuana does not raise the lung cancer risk.
All right. I've been telling people that for
You're
years.
You're back on, though.
I'm back on. Flip the switch.
People who smoke marijuana do not appear to be at increased risk for developing lung cancer, new research suggests. While a clear increase in cancer risk was seen among cigarette smokers in the study, no such association was seen for regular cannabis users. Cellular studies and even some studies in animal models suggest THC has anti-tumor properties, either by encouraging the death of genetically damaged cells
or
by restricting the development of the blood supply that feeds tumors. So,
can we just agree that if it came from the earth, it's probably okay?
Yeah. Of course. Let's get behind that.
Meth came from the earth. We came from the earth and then we made meth.
So in a roundabout way, everything is healthy. Everything works out for us.
Finally, there is a really funny picture that I don't think we need to read all of them for, but it's a fake requirements for getting the Nintendo Seal of Quality thing stamped on your game box. I don't know if you saw this week.
I did not see this, but I'm looking forward to anything you bring to the show.
So it goes from back in the NES era. The game must be of high quality with no show-stopping bugs. Players die enough to make the cost of the game equal to the amount they would have spent in the arcade, and works extra good when blown on. The cartridge.
Oh, there we go. blowing.
The Super Nintendo era has to use one of the following: the Super FX chip, Mode 7, the Red to Blood White Sweat processor, or the space we set aside for the word Super before the name of your game. The N64 era takes advantage of our unique controller by making players mash the analog stick until it breaks, which should take 2 full rotations.
Mario Party. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
The GameCube.
Cause blisters.
GameCube era. Game cannot come out in the same month as another game released on the GameCube.
It's
true.
The DS era games must use the touchscreen in an arbitrary and uncreative way to accomplish things that could have been done with the D-pad or buttons. And finally, the Wii era must be manufactured on a disc that's roughly the same size as the slot on the console.
Can I just say, I still think it's amazing that Nintendo basically took the GameCube, added a motion controller to it, sold it as the Wii, and now it's the best-selling system ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works out.
That's unbelievable. I mean, the GameCube was such a flop.
And I think, you know, we've actually found a new way to run the show. We'll just have Adam print off all the comedy from the internet, bring it in, and then we won't have to say anything funny anymore. It's already there. We can do it that way.
I thought that was pretty good. I think there's so many shitty Wii games that...
there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, though, just since we're talking about Wii.
Throw this out.
How is it so popular still, but there really isn't that many good games for it?
I think people buy it. It was cheapest, and now it's, I guess, tied, right?
Yeah.
People bought it, played Wii Sports, and
that's it.
Like me, stopped playing it.
I think that's exactly it. Or they might pick up Wii Fit and play that three times.
Do they need
like
a Wii Sports 2?
It's coming.
It's coming. Okay. With the enhanced... right, motion sensor mm-hmm. thing.
I would say it's probably fun for us pedestrian players, though.
It's like
to have it and just have it around for your old folks. Your great aunt comes over and you're like, hey, have you ever seen one of these? Oh, this is so fun. You can bowl. I mean...
Yeah, but I think that my great aunt would like to play Burnout also. And so...
You have a cool great aunt.
Well, I don't know if she really would. She's dead. So
it's like it's kind of like buying a copy of Pictionary, you know? It's like a board game, really, that you bring out every once in a while. It's just a $250 board game.
Right. That you still can't find in stores very often.
Yeah, it's still not out there.
That's amazing.
Well, there we go.
That's it for news.
That's it for news, Jared. Right.
Okay,
great. So what comes after news?
I think we go home, right?
We're done. Or maybe we could review something. Okay, Adam, kick Al under the table. Let's wake him up because he is ready to participate in... the latest scope review, which is...
Did you just say kick Al under the...
Kick him under the table. Wake him up.
Like, kick him so that he's now under the table? We are reviewing Oasis's... Oasis's?
Sure.
Oasis-I?
The new Oasis album.
The new Oasis album.
Dig Your Own Soul. So, thank you, Entertainment Weekly. Do Oasis's Liam and Noel Gallagher suffer from a morbid and quite unnecessary fear that we might forget how much... they love the Beatles. The British Quintet's latest disc, Dig Your Own Soul, not only features Ringo's son, Zach Starkey, on drums, but also at one point includes a snippet of John Lennon talking. Let's listen to the first single from the album, The Shock of Lightning. Al and Shane are flirting over here.
We're writing love notes.
Nice.
Do you heart
me? We might get to episode 69 before long.
Check box for yes.
Next up is a song that I can only assume is about having sex with promiscuous women. It's a clip from Bag It Up.
Felt like we got out of that clip early. What's up with that?
I don't know. I might have been tired.
Or the song was.
Yes. So.
Very nice, Jared.
Dig Your Own Soul, currently at a 66 on Metacritic. What did we think?
So here's the question. Do we start with Al, who's the expert, or do we finish with Al?
I think we finish with Al, because okay. I think Al's going to have a lot of poignant things to say.
He is. He's really going to be thinking hard and soul-searching about Oasis.
I'll start, but I won't give my complete opinion. My first comment on Oasis, and I think this is something we could discuss before we talk about the album, is can a band like Oasis get a fair review? Because you either, for the most part, people love or hate Oasis. There's not a lot of in-between people.
Or if they love them, they're expecting the same songs from the 90s.
They're expecting it to be, or they're going to automatically say it is a great album. It's fantastic. Yeah. And someone talked about the EW review, which...
I think that was Adam.
Which I don't know if they listened to the album just by some of the comments they made. And it sounded like they had decided what they were going to write before it came out. So I just think because of the Gallagher brothers being D-bags, and they are, I'll admit that, I think people have their minds made up before they listen to these albums. If you stamped a different band name on them and maybe put a different singer on, I think we'd maybe get a fair review. So let's hear our fair reviews from these three gentlemen first. Yes.
Wow, well, thanks for taking over. Jared?
I don't have a whole lot to say about this album. It didn't make much of an impression on me, to be honest. I didn't find myself loving it. Didn't find myself hating it. I mean, it definitely sounds like Oasis. I couldn't find a hit on there, and I don't know. I guess I would debate the assertion that they're very Beatley sometimes, because I didn't hear that other than the glaring examples on this album, because there are some definite examples that are almost lifted directly from Beatles songs. Otherwise, though, it's just their regular songs don't really sound that Beatley to me. But I don't know. I didn't hate it, didn't love it, didn't make an impression, whatever.
Yeah, initially I told you as I was listening to it for the first time, I go, this is a lot of Beatles stuff on here, maybe even more than some of their other albums. That was my initial take on it. But as I listened to it again, a little bit of that melted away. And I kind of felt like Jared. There wasn't a lot of impression made on me. A couple great songs in there, I think, or good songs. I wouldn't say great. I would say good songs that probably would make the rotation for me, but a lot of stuff that in between that was very groove based, as Jody Rosen of Rolling Stone said, which I agree. Less, you know, less drive, less focus, more just meandering. And I didn't really buy into it. It wasn't great. And Al hopefully can give us some insight as to why the music ended up being that way. But there wasn't anything that was of greatness on this album, and my score reflects that. Adam.
My one half listen through, I thought it was boring.
Well, there we go. Adam really puts a lot of effort into this. Al, you're here for a reason.
To talk Oasis?
Step up.
Okay. Well,
you've heard what we've said.
I think I feel pretty much the same as everyone on here. I thought there was... It was a 12-track album, and out of the first seven songs, there were six good at best songs, and then the back end of the album was boring.
A mess, yeah. Not a mess, just it wasn't.
It was boring, but I thought from what they've been doing the last few albums, the higher end songs were kind of higher end. I kind of feel like this as an Oasis album was similar to what Wilco did with the last album. I liked a lot of the songs I really liked on the album. I seem to like and kind of grew a little more and a little more, but like you guys said, it was boring and it was very pedestrian. I wouldn't call it bad, but I wouldn't call it anything I'd want to keep doing. It was kind of sleepy. Shane, you mentioned how it was groove based, and the better songs on here were the two songs that kind of where they brought the percussion to the front, and you can tell they were Noel Gallagher written songs, and he did seven of them, I believe, on the album, or six on the album. And I think the band is pulling, and they don't know which way they want to go, and Noel Gallagher is a lot more progressive and wants to be more of an, I don't know, a Chemical Brothers lights when he worked with the Chemical Brothers a little bit.
Sure.
He wants to maybe veer it into that direction, whereas Liam Gallagher, the singer, if your singer's not going to want to sing your songs, you're going to have some tension. So to sum it up, they don't know where they're going.
Are they
all want to go in different directions, and everybody's writing now in the band, and they're not doing drugs, so the songs aren't as good. And
there we go. Drugs solves everything, guys.
Unfortunately, yes. And like I said, unfair expectations with this band, because their first two albums were fantastic.
Will they ever be that band again?
They'll never be that band. And know what? Personally, I don't care or want them to be that band. So I was re-listening to some of their stuff this week. And I've been pretty harsh on their last four albums before this one. It's not that bad, though.
No.
I think it's high expectations, and it's a lot of people who just don't want to like them because they don't want
to. Maybe they don't need to be that band, but maybe they need to produce music of that quality.
I can live with that.
Which they're not there yet. Maybe they will be someday, but probably not. You know, it's kind of interesting how bands, you know, they'll hit that creative peak early and sort of flutter down to nothing. Every once in a while, those bands in their later years might pop out a jewel or a gem.
Well, and I know...
Right out of there took
jewel
us.
Jewel or a gem.
Well, yeah. And Adam talked about the Yield album from Pearl Jam last time. I think Pearl Jam kind of went in that meandering, if you want to call it boring or for fans only albums, and I think Oasis has been doing some for fans only albums, mm-hmm. and you just wonder if it's going to be, maybe a slight upward swing.
A universal hit?
Well, not even to universal, but at least to critical, to some critical acclaim.
Do they still get a lot of props in the UK?
They do.
I mean, they just absolutely love
their singles still do pretty well over there, and they will sell near what they used to sell just in England, I would guess. I shouldn't put that stamp.
Sure.
I'm not a BBC expert.
Yeah, you're not stuttering the charts and numbers from the BBC record.
I'm not an enemy expert over there.
Gotcha.
So.
Well, there you go.
But for EW person to say there was more songs, the Bungalow Bill, than whatever else song was on that album was a crock, because there wasn't any silly, super silly, hokey Beatles-type songs to say there were Bungalow Bill songs on there. So.
I would agree that there weren't any silly songs.
There we go. Can you agree with that as well, Adam? No silly songs on half the album you listen to?
I'd say they're all serious. All six songs that I listen to.
All six songs serious. So I think we've got one more bit of business to take care of, which would be giving this sucker a score. Let's do that.
Okay.
The Scope score is 2 stars.
I'm really excited to come and talk about Not Oasis next time I come.
You just have to let us know when you want to come back. After this performance, we'll see.
Let's just tape another one, right?
Okay, let's do it. We're going to do it, Adam. Stick around. Another show totally off the cup.
We'll do it on the yard as we all rake leaves.
Yeah.
Off the cup. Jared, we've got the last third of Under the Scope remaining, and that is called Coming Soon. Now, all of these things are items that if you had money that wasn't taken away from you in this utter bungling of our economy, you could buy these things. You could go to the store, you could buy them, or maybe you could see them in the theater.
Or the rich people could use our money to buy these right now.
If you're rich, you could get all this stuff. But if you're not, you can just listen to us talk about it and then wish you could have them.
Most of these are stealable, too.
Okay, or steal them. Yeah. There we go. Adam's a pro stealing. Yeah. Go ahead, Adam. What can we steal in the next 2 weeks?
Whatever it takes. Music. The 28th of October, Ryan Adams and the Cardinals. So are they going? He's going back to the and the Cardinals thing now. He's not just Ryan Adams.
He's been on that for
I thought
handful of the last albums.
Okay, I'm waiting for Brian Adams and the Cardinals. That'll be a much better
summer album. Of 69. Maybe we will give that a review on our 69th show.
Just like a knife,
but it feels so right. Thank you.
Everything I do it for you. Block Party's new album coming out. Intimacy. Thought that was already out.
I think it's a different version of it.
Okay.
Like a
or
format.
Here.
Yeah, something like that.
The Cure, Dream 4.13.
Pushed up a few weeks.
Yes. Kaiser Chiefs album, Off With Their Heads. Did I read a review? Was it Rolling Stone? They thought it was fantastic.
You liked their last album, right?
I did. I saw them live, and they don't know how to set their set. They don't know how to order it, because their encore were two slow songs. So I was like, this is dumb.
Will you buy that album?
I will have that album.
Find it?
He will find it. Maybe in the garbage somewhere.
Pink's new album, Queen and Paul Rogers album comes out, and Snow Patrol comes out. So now we're set.
Album of the year.
Album of the year.
We're never doing that again, but we got a lot of crap for that.
November 4th, Election Day, Q-Tip.
Dido. So you can go vote for McCain, and then you can go get the new Dido album.
Why don't you do it the opposite way and listen to Dido while you're voting?
Okay, I like that.
All right, and Travis,
that's already released in the UK, and the first single is fantastic.
So Travis back on track. Didn't they just do an album not too long ago? Well, come on,
last summer.
It was very good.
It was actually very good. So
these guys are back, aren't they?
Yeah, but
they're back. I'm saying just with a new album, not
I know,
from
but
quality.
I think they're enjoying more independent success now.
Independent,
if you can call it that.
Yes.
Movies, October 31st would be a perfect time for scary movies to come out, and there's only one for whatever reason. Saw 5 comes out after, before you've already listened to this.
Has anyone even seen a Saw movie in the room?
I saw the first three, nope, I think.
Not one. Torture porn movies?
Jess and I would see them in the movie theater, and it's hilarious to see them in the theater.
I could imagine it would be from a social perspective.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
A social perspective.
So, The Haunting of Molly Hartley is the movie, one of the one scary movie coming out on Halloween.
I've seen movie posters of it. I've never seen a trailer.
I think I saw a commercial on TV for it sometime this past weekend. And the Kevin Smith, Zach and Miri Make a Porno coming out. And I love Elizabeth Banks, so I probably still won't see it in the movie theater, but maybe. We'll see.
What's that rated?
I believe it's R.
Do they have the
hard R?
X-rated version?
I don't think so.
Probably not. I've heard, as
I've said many times before, this movie's early critical buzz, not good. Not good at all.
Not surprised. Maybe Kevin Smith should lose some weight and get into not doing movies anymore. I don't really know what the weight has to do with that, but
that's very harsh.
November 7th, Role Models. I don't even know what movie that is. Oh, that's the movie with Paul Rudd. And yep. So that'll be great.
And
love me some Paul Rudd.
The kid from the old Tracy Morgan sitcom. Mm.
Yes, I love precocious little black kids.
Yeah.
Don't we all?
That swear
at white adults.
Yes. And Soul Men, the Sam Jackson, Bernie Mac movie, which, I mean, we assume will make as much money as Batman did because of
clearly. You know,
the Heath Ledger thing.
Yeah, it'll be the same exact
Oscar nominee. Right.
Oscar nominated Bernie Mac.
So he's dead now, so everyone will come back to see him.
Slightly morbid and mean.
It's DVD, October 28th. This is Cat House, the series. I don't know what that was.
That's one of your favorites. That is an HBO television program. Featuring the women of the
cat house
brothel.
Yes. Mystery Science Theater 3000, the 20th anniversary edition. Now, sometime around this time, Rhino is supposed to release their complete box set of every single movie that they were able to get rights to.
Wow.
For MST3K.
Oh, so my.
We'll see when that happens. That's something that's been fought for the last 20 years or so.
I think releasing giant mass amounts of media right now is a good choice.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get a lot of sales.
And Polar Express 3D.
3D. Comes with glasses? Who knows?
Still as creepy as ever.
November 4th, once again, Election Day. You can get Fraggle Rock, the complete series, and then go vote.
Am I the only one who never watched Fraggle Rock and has no desire to ever watch Fraggle Rock?
I've maybe seen a half an episode.
I will be in your team.
There's a lot of people who are obsessed with Fraggle Rock.
It was an HBO show, so if you didn't pay for HBO, you didn't see Fraggle Rock. And I don't think it went syndicated until much later.
There's people who really like puppet stuff, and I just it's not for me.
Well, no, Jess really likes puppet stuff. She's really excited about what's-his-name from How I Met Your Mother.
Jason Segel doing the remake
of the Muppet stuff. But... she doesn't like Fraggle Rock. Anyway, I saw lots of Fraggle Rock when I was a kid. I have no desire to watch it now. We were rich. We had HBO.
You did it all.
It was legal cable, too.
So you can afford to get all this
stuff.
You
actually ate gold.
Saying.
Yes. Well, okay, look.
Gold leaf and diamond sprinkles on the Sundays.
Just because Jews hid their gold in their teeth does not make that an acceptable joke.
Wow.
Wow.
Calm down.
It was not a Jewish joke. I just thought the image of someone chowing down a gold bar.
I was thinking
bar.
Of a Jewish joke. Good.
As if it were a Milky Way.
We all were thinking of those jokes, Al.
Reaper Season 1.
Worst Jew ever.
Batman.
Finally, some sound effects. I've been missing sound effects.
Not hot.
Thank you.
Not hot for you.
And video games.
Sound effects after everything that he announces, Jared. I declare it. Go ahead.
Fallout 3. I don't know why this is Fallout here.
Sorry.
Little Big Planet. Guitar Hero World Tour. Is anyone getting Guitar Hero World Tour?
I don't think so.
No. Did anyone get Rock Band 2?
Yes.
Okay.
Jared's got it on pre-order.
I do.
Which one?
Rock Band 2, the entire set.
Yeah.
What's that?
You're Glenn.
The Deluxe with the instruments.
Yeah. He ordered it too late.
Wait, what?
See, now the show's hopping, Jared. Come on! People aren't going to listen for an hour and 20 minutes.
Boy, that was really gay.
Gears of War 2, Resistance 2.
We're standing over here in the corner judging people.
AC/DC Live Rock Band Track Pack.
I'm done.
Oh,
Tom Clancy, some game. James Bond game.
You're good. It's going to be tight, y'all.
I think how Adam, he put all his energy into the first week of the video games, and the second week he didn't care. Come on, Adam. There's some good stuff coming out that second week. You barely mentioned Gears of War and 2 and Resistance 2. Come on.
I said both of those.
You're going to like Resistance, Xbox.
I don't have
any of those games launching at $20?
Yeah, Jared only buys $20 games.
What's that racing game? That the little futuristic racing game that came with the PS1.
Wipeout?
Yeah, Wipeout HD is $20.
You could get Burger King Big Bumpin'. Remember those games?
Mm-hmm. RC Pro-Am.
I'm going to play the games I have.
You play a lot of games, buddy. Are we done with this or
look,
what?
You got to spend your money when you have a job. Then yeah, once you don't have a job now. Anymore, you have stuff to use.
Right on. I
there
like
we go.
That.
Duh. Jared, close it up.
Okay.
Look at, he was right on at that time.
Under the scope.
This is going to be the action-packed, comment-filled last segment of the show, everybody.
Comment-filled, if by one comment you consider it to be filled.
That's filled, but it's a good one. It's a good one.
It is. It's from a new listener named John, if that is your real
name. In Kentucky.
He says, Adam must be in the wrong part of the Commonwealth. I have a Panera 2 miles from my house. If that one blew over tomorrow, there's another one about 3 miles away.
Yeah, most of my time is not spent in anywhere around Fayette or Jefferson County.
We need to get John and Adam hanging out. We need to get them together like a scope face to face.
I will be in near Fayette County, that's Lexington, for most of the next 2 weeks.
Okay, well, let's get a little dialogue going and you can hang out and you can tell them all the inside stories. Of the scope, Adam.
Can I lie? And
sure, absolutely.
So that there are inside stories?
I never tell anyone the truth about this show.
Okay.
It's embarrassing.
John continues. He says, anyway, I just started listening to you guys. Good show. You always give me a laugh, but you need to steer clear of the political talk. One laugh per show. That's all. That's all you can expect, honestly. You want more than that? Then go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. The whole reason I listen to podcasts is so you don't have to listen to politics. If you want to listen to political talk, I'd turn on my radio.
Wow.
So he wants us to steer clear of the politics.
He didn't listen to the fall TV preview then.
I don't think he did.
Hugely political.
I'm just going to say this. John, I appreciate your opinions. On the scope, we don't censor anything we say, but we do often have a feel for what's timely and what needs to be said. And I think we're all pretty politicked out right now.
Nope.
Not
nope.
Adam.
Okay. But Adam, you have something to say on the topic?
I'm excited about politics right now.
Awesome.
I will be for the next
3 weeks. We'll give you 3 weeks.
8 days or so. 10 days? 9 days. And if something bad happens on that 9th day, then I will never talk about politics probably
ever
again.
There we go. So, John, hopefully it falls your way. That's it.
That's it for comments. If you have comments, you can email them like John did to comments@thescopeshow.com or just go to the website and comment on the blog. Or you can give us a call at 646-495-9201, extension 70055. Now, you won't get a nifty little voicemail response there. You'll just get enter your code, you put in the 70055, and you give us a message. It drops in, and we listen to it.
And we know people are listening, so this segment is really on your shoulders, listeners.
It really is.
It's on your shoulders. So if you want it to be good, I mean, we can only deal with what we have. If we don't have anything there, it's going to be me looking at Al.
So honestly,
giving him googly eyes.
If the show sucks, it's your fault.
Yep.
At least this part of it.
Or Adam's fault.
We have a new thing that we've added.
Do
in ways to interact with the scope and its hosts, and that is we have a group on Facebook.
Wow. This is like cutting-edge technology. We're way ahead of the curve on this one.
We sure are. We're just behind MetroBuzz and probably every other podcast.
I might have to get a Facebook page now.
You should get a Facebook page.
So you can join the group and your picture will show up. It's about
there
it so far.
Facebook.
So anyway, if you feel like joining that and you're on Facebook, go to our website and click on the link or search for us somehow in the Facebook and it magically shows up, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how it works, but it's there and it's great. Did you sign up for it, Adam? Are you part of that group yet?
I even made him an admin, just like you, Shane.
Yeah, I did get that.
I kicked you out yesterday. So you're
what a jerk off. So any plugs here, Jared? You got any shows coming up? Any anything, you know?
I have no plugs.
We can find you on the Xbox 360.
Yes.
Live. Do you have a...
Xbox Live. My gamer tag is Bud Sharp. That's B-U-D space S-H-A-R-P-E. Look me up.
Adam, are you still playing 360? Did you return it again or what?
What's I never... It wasn't again. I returned it the first time. I never rebought it.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it so far.
But this is our last episode before the election.
Right.
So we should say vote.
So get out there and vote.
Should we do predictions?
Remember, in Minnesota, you don't have to be registered. You can register at the polling places.
Bring a utility bill or your ID.
Yes, and also a cat.
Predictions, Adam, we'll let you do the predictions.
I already predicted. I said Obama in a landslide, and look who's looking like a genius right now.
Who?
Me.
Come on. You never look like a genius.
At the moment, I'm looking like I am one.
His hair is a little crazy like Einstein.
I haven't showered today.
No, that doesn't.
Geniuses don't shower, Shane. That's a proven fact.
Al, landslide victory.
Yes.
Yes. Jared? Landslide?
I'm not going to say landslide, but I'm predicting an Obama victory, yes.
And I suppose I will just go with the flock right here and say Obama will probably win it. I guarantee Obama a win in Minnesota. What do you think of that?
That I would say yes.
Lock it in.
Will you be making calls this afternoon, Shane, getting people out?
No, you know me.
Door-to-door?
I'm a door-to-door kind of guy. No, Jared's got no plugs. Al, any appearances you'll be making?
I'd like to plug whatwanama.com. Legal use of Joe's op. Please support the arts. $15.
We're going to get to that movie, by the way. We're going to get to it.
And Shane has been thinking about watching it for the last 2 months now.
We'll get to it, I promise.
What was that website again?
www.whatwhatalma.com.
Right on.
Adam, and you, any appearances? Kentucky? Again.
Lots of Kentucky. And then I will be in Florida in December.
Very nice.
That's all I know right now.
I think we all should give a plug to 7-Minute Abs as well.
7-Minute Abs.
Ibs.
Ibs.
If it doesn't work for you, we'll send you that last minute free.
To make it short, those two videos wouldn't be by each other. 7-Minute Abs and 8-Minute Abs alphabetically would not
They would. Be next if, they're, if they're numbered, they would be right next to each other. Right? If it's, if yeah. they're doing
if it's a number, not spelled out.
They would be at the very beginning at the of the...
Well, what about 6-Minute Abs?
Well, right. That would precede it also.
6 minutes? Nobody's doing six, Jared. 7.
Step into my office, Shane.
Get some gorgonzola. You're
totally gorgonzola. So everybody,
it's brie time, baby. It's clearly brie time.
Episode 60 is over. 61 will be coming in probably 2 weeks. I think we're going to do a continuation of the Ashley trivia game. Went over very, very well the first time around. We've got more great questions.
You're going down, Jared.
Okay.
Jared going down. So for all of our listeners, thanks for tuning in. You're the best. We'll see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing 206-350-7056. Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, Das Vidanya. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.